Louis Michaud, tous les dimanches matins, 7h jusqu'à 9h, on va charrer en français, écouter la musique en français et boire un petit tasse de café. Join me, Louis Michaud, if you have trouble waking up in the Sunday mornings. Just turn your radio to KRVS from 7 to 9 and hear me with Le Réveil, The Awakening en français.
Each week, take a musical journey through the world of the harp with Harpistry, Sunday at midnight and Monday at noon, right here on KRVS.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. Sunny this afternoon with a high near 84 degrees. Winds out of the southeast at 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight with a low of 63. And on Friday, scattered showers coming into the picture. Cloudy skies on Friday with a high near 80 and a 50% chance of rain. Currently, it's fair and 82 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We also have Daryl Borks from the Poets Bookshelf segment coming up later this hour. In just a few minutes, we'll be joining Judith Merriweather in the studio.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Bree Sargent and Mary Bate with the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Lee Dygard, who is one of the artists in the Southern Open, which opens for Art Walk this weekend. Mary is one of the curators of the Acadiana Center for the Arts and is here to talk about that exhibit. There's also a huge arts effort going on downtown for the students' Student Art Expo, and Bree, you're going to tell us a bit more about that in a little while. I know a lot of people wait for the Southern Open. It hasn't been going on that many years, but people have come already to expect a quality art exhibit. And tell us a bit about it, Mary, why it's so special and how it's set up.
Well, I actually think it's been going on for 7 years, mm-hmm. So it's been a while. And it's our annual juried exhibition. And this year, our juror happens to be someone who was born and bred in Lafayette. His name is Rene Barrio, but he's the chief curator at the McNay, which is an art institution in San Antonio. And he's also the curator from 1949 to the present. And what happens is we have an open call to artists to submit their work. And one of the qualifications is that you must reside along the Gulf Coast. So people from 5 states are eligible. And the only other minor qualification is that you have to be out of school. We don't want work that reflects what a teacher would have you do. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, it's an open call, and artists submit their work, and usually a little artist statement, but it's really judged primarily on the work. This year we used a process, a web-based process called Cafe Call, which actually exposed our open call to a huge number of people because artists go to that website looking for shows to apply to. So we ended up with a show that is inclusive of every single state. We have someone from every state represented, and I think it has a different feel than in the past. Even though it was always open to 5 states, we never got the number of applicants from, say, Texas. We got a ton of people from Texas applying, and we ended up with over 200 applications. This year's exhibition has 31 artists in it, and we have like 77 pieces. It's quite a packed show. So I think that there's something for everybody. And on Saturday evening, the opening is from 6 to 9, and I believe it's at 7:30. They'll announce the juror's pick, mm-hmm. and that person will receive $1,000, and then 2 honorable mentions each for $500. So it's guaranteed. tea to be a fun-filled event.
Well, you know, each year there's a different juror who chooses, and that alone means that the art is going to change from year to year with the personality, the taste of the person choosing the art.
Very true.
And I have talked to artists in the past who have been particularly excited about one juror or the other and work very hard to create a piece particularly for this person because they admire this juror so much.
Right. Mm-hmm. This year, the flavor of the show to me seems a little bit more cosmopolitan. Mm-hmm. I think last year's flavor was a little bit more political and had a little bit more pieces about the environment and all, but this year it has just a little bit more of a cosmopolitan kind of feel to it. So it definitely, you can tell a different person juried the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us who the artists are who were chosen this year.
There's just a huge variety of artists. A lot from New Orleans. We have, but we have local people also. Matthew Broussard is local. Lee Degard, who's sitting next to us, is from New Orleans. Troy Dugat is local. Cullen Miller is local. Emmy Morgan, Stephanie Patton. So out of all those people, we still had a really strong showing. David Sullivan is from New Orleans, and Cynthia Scott is from New Orleans. Cynthia Scott is actually going to be doing a solo show in the Side Gallery in November and December of this coming year. We have people from places elsewhere, but those will probably cover our hometown team that we are so very, very proud of.
Well, describe the variety of mediums. What can people expect when they walk in?
There's a huge hanging sculpture that's probably maybe 12 feet long. It's made out of these ribs of wood. It kind of ends up looking like a missile, but it's got a lattice quality to it. There's also these wall pieces that are made out of Lipton tea boxes and tiny little sticks. And they're actually beautiful. They're very, very fragile. Stephanie Patton has some mattress pill-shaped lozenges that fit on the wall. We have several videos. Lee is doing, which I know she'll talk about in a second, she's doing an installation. Lee was in our last landscape show where she had photographs, but this time around she's got an installation. There are a couple of paintings, traditional paintings, photographs. There's a lot more sculpture this time around than we've had in a long time, so it's got a different feel. Mm. You know, it's definitely, you should come out and see it. It's not the last show. It's not the landscape show. It's definitely got its own kind of feel. Mm. So it's a good thing.
Well, we're going to look forward to that very much. And again, as I said, so many people now looking forward each year to the Southern Open.
And then in our side gallery, we have Luba Zygarowicz, and she won last year's grand prize. And her show is titled Thread, and she deals a lot with everyday items and then makes art about almost the fact that our life passes so quick that she takes the time to take stuff like tea bags, which are something that is just disposed of, and then she'll make a piece out of it. So it's a lot about permanence and flux. And in the Maya Galleria upstairs is Emmy Morgan. She has some wall pieces and a video. And in the vault is Linda Katz, who works in porcelain, and it's both functional and decorative, and she works with flora and fauna of our area. So that covers all of our many, many, many art galleries.
Once again, you could spend 2 or 3 hours just going from gallery to gallery at the Acadiana Center for the Arts this coming Saturday. If you have just tuned in, my guests are from the Acadiana Center for the Arts, Mary Bate, who is one of the curators at the ACA, Bree Sargent, who will be talking about the Student Art Expo taking place all over the place this weekend, and Lee Degard, who is one of the artists who was chosen for the Southern Open. And you sent me, and thank you very much, Mary, you sent me a lovely artist statement from Lee. Tell us a bit about yourself, Lee. Are you from New Orleans, or you've just made that your home recently?
Not originally. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Georgia, mm-hmm. but I've been living in New Orleans since 2002.
Mm. What drew you to New Orleans?
Originally, a spouse was the first reason.
And had you studied art before? Had you been an artist for a while before you moved to New Orleans?
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. I'd lived, you know, in most parts of the U.S. and a little bit overseas.
Mm. Well, I love your artist statement, and I think I'm going to ask you to read it. It's not very long, but it's sort of like turning on a light for those of us who are sort of lay people in art. You know, I know we should all stand in front of a piece of art and just let it wash over us, but it does help to hear some words.
Oh, well, thank you. Steady Star, the name of the piece. Steady Star explores the chimerical power of longing, the stamina of dreams and fixations. As a child, I collected plastic horses and pored over manuals of horse care. Absent a real horse, I was ready, if called, to muck out the Augean stables. Hercules, in my opinion, did a rush job, took shortcuts. I would have done it right as ministration and service to a yearning. The monastic discipline and gallantry of little girls gets often overlooked. A toy horse runs and never grows tired. A horse breathes and snores deep in sleep. Longing becomes a dream. Dreams persist. They must be tended.
Mm-hmm. And I assume there is a figure of a horse somewhere.
There
is your piece a painting, a sculpture?
It's primarily a video with some installation elements.
Mm-hmm. I love the elements about your statement about both yearning and discipline. I think people don't often hold that together when they're thinking about art. You know, they think so much of just the creation, the inspiration, maybe the yearning part, but not so much that monastic discipline that you talk about. Were you like that as a child?
That you do make a very good point. I think until you've worked at being an artist over, you know, day after day, year after year, month after month, it's a wonderful, you know, calling, mm-hmm. but it is also work that you have to have sort of discipline. Mm-hmm. You train like an athlete to a degree to do it every day, to think about it, to tend it in a way.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into video art? Was that your first medium?
I trained as a sculptor, and I made big, heavy, huge things, and a combination of, you know, throwing my back out for enough consecutive years and slipping discs, and then Hurricane Katrina did turn me a little bit more towards the portable arts.
Things that could be uploaded to a cloud somewhere.
Yes, that, and things that could be rolled up under your arm and run away with. You know, so I do a lot of drawing-based things, and as well as digital and photographic and video work.
Mm. So this piece in the Southern Open is video, and it's called Steady Star. Does it have anything to do with horses?
Oh, it has everything to do with horses. It was, I freely own up to my, I don't know, we could call it obsession with horses. I have significant relationships with horses, one in particular, whom I've known for 15 years. This video of an installation was originally part of a body of work called In Your Dreams, Horses, that dealt with the horse as significant other. Horses have this keen proprioceptive sense to move around a horse. A lot of the work I did was taking photographs of them at night in the dark, dark pasture. And I would almost run into them and hear their breathing before I could see them. And we would do kind of a choreography, moving around one another with the camera. So their keen spatial sense, their keen awarenesses. They have a lot to sort of teach us. Things that I spending time with horses, I feel like I can tune into sort of details and awareness, you know, through what they show me. Other parts of the show dealt with the kind of little girl I had been, which was horse obsessed, but I couldn't get anywhere near a real horse, so I had plastic horses. I read books, like I said in the statement. I absolutely was just so ready. I don't know what I was waiting for, but it was like waiting for a calling. And I had to wait until I was an adult, and I made up for lost time in my 20s, and I conducted these sort of friendships and relationships with horses. I had family members, you know, a few generations removed who had raised horses, and so I grew up looking at old photographs of family members with horses, and I remembered thinking that the horse was as much my relative in these pictures as my actual relative.
So did you have an Uncle Steady Star? Was that the name
Steady
of a
Star
horse?
Was a horse that lived in my family. He was an extraordinary one. He was a pacer, and the plastic horse that gives rise to the animation, the video, is also a pacer. So I'm absolutely linking back to him. This video is a lot of my work is about relationships with animals, companion animal relationships, but also about the wild animal and their sense of otherness and how to move around in the woods, particularly at night, is a form of trespass. This video is almost more about what I think of as the power of sort of fixed ideas of things that you want for a long time. What does it mean, you know, this toy horse running and never growing tired? The audio for the piece comes from, I recorded it's not easy to do, but I recorded a horse sleeping in the barn next to me. We sometimes take naps together lying on the horse, on the pine shavings, and I'm inching a microphone closer to his nose. So it's something about the intimacy of it. And the intimacy of dreams, how we keep them close to ourselves, how we have to, I don't know, they have to run, and they have to run and run.
Mm-hmm. A very powerful film I remember seeing years ago, shown in my high school, was A Dream of Wild Horses.
Oh, yes.
It's anyone who's seen it, I think there's no talking in it, it's just horses, and there's a soundtrack to it, and I think they're wild. And I hadn't thought about that one in a long time until you started talking about this. Well, did you find that your interest in horses found its way in all of the mediums that you've worked in art? Sculpture, painting, all of it?
I have made sculptures of horses, and working with horses as a subject is I find it extremely challenging because horses are so completely exquisite and beautiful. It is very easy to make all the pretty horses art. They're so, and I wanted to capture in other pieces I've made, I don't know, the sort of strangeness and yet complete kind of open channel awareness that you can have, you know, with a horse. I was thinking, you know, there's things like nightmares, you know, what is a nightmare? I think, well, to me, not all nightmares are bad dreams, you know. A nightmare could be
sublime.
A companion in the darkness, you know, a sense, hearing the breathing of this just sort of exquisite awareness of every movement you make and every movement they make. I don't know if I can say that horses are the thread that have run through everything. I mean, they definitely have in my, you know, with this 15-year relationship or this friendship with a horse. That's obviously a huge part of the life that I live. So I would say that it permeates the things I think about, and I thought for a long time about how to make art. I think a lot of artists who work with, say, family members, you know, that take portraits or say, you know, novelists that, you know, write thinly veiled, you know, accounts of things that could have, you know, non-fictional bases, they face this where our relationships are kind of sacred, and how to make interesting art about them is an enduring challenge. How to scrutinize, and so it's like when I have used my animal friends as subjects in my work, I think of them as portraits. I think would they give me permission for this? You know, I hate it's they inspire me, but I also want to take what they share with me and what I know with them and what they trust me to have. I want to take that. You know, and treat it with sort of respect and care.
The same sensitivity and respect we would, as you said, with a family member or a friend that you may be. If you have just tuned in, my guest, Lee Dygard, is talking about her work that was chosen for the Southern Open, which opens this Saturday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Her piece is called Steady Star and is video art and is in the Southern Open, which has about 70-some-odd pieces, you said, Mary?
Yes, about 77 pieces.
Okay. How long does Steady Star last, or is it, I guess, a loop, really? Isn't that how...
It is a loop. Okay. The illusion of the horse coming to life and running without growing tired is a part of it, so it loops.
Is there often a choice of how large a screen is when you do video art? I think some of us don't know that. Do you choose like you would the size of a canvas, or is that determined by the gallery?
No, absolutely. That is a good question. There are distinct differences between projecting a video or showing a video on a monitor or... And all of these things, you know, come into play, both scale, but also brightness, and also when you put a projection on a wall or a surface or onto, like, say, a sculptural form, all of these things affect it. We're very accustomed to watching, say, TV or videos versus projections can sometimes have a, I don't know, more liminal quality, something of a projection, you mm-hmm. know, an imagination factor that can be important for some videos over others.
So what is the size of your projection?
Well, I'm still fine-tuning that. Yeah. But it'll be fairly large. Mm-hmm. I have experimented with showing it quite small. It really depends on the space that you have. The space at the Acadian Center for the Arts is so beautiful and capacious, and the opportunity to work a little larger is there. And to have a horse that is no longer a toy horse, but actually a life-size horse, is an arresting way to explore the piece too. Mm. You know, there's.
I'm sure some people are wondering if you have a website where they can go and experience some of your art or images.
I do have a website.
And what is it?
It's www.leedeigard.com.
Okay, well, you can go there and find a bit more about her work, see some of the images, and of course attend on Saturday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. My guest, Mary Bate, is are you the curator or are you co-curating this? I mean, it was chosen by Renee Barrio.
Right, Renee mm-hmm. Barrio curated okay. this piece.
Now, who hung it? Who was it? Brian Guidry?
It's in the middle of being done right
okay.
now.
All right. Brian does such a lovely job.
Down to the wire.
All right. Well, we'll be there on Saturday. Now, in addition to the exhibits that you mentioned at the
yes.
ACA, there are lots of student work that one can see around. It sounds like it's all over downtown, Bree. What's happening with the Student Expo downtown?
Well, the Student Arts Expo, this is actually our third annual, mm-hmm. and the event was originally designed to increase public awareness and appreciation of the arts by and for the youth of Lafayette Parish Public Schools. The Acadiana Center for the Arts and the Lafayette Parish School System actually jointly present the Student Arts Expo with support from downtown Lafayette and the Lafayette Consolidated Government. So it's a big partnership, and it takes a big partnership to showcase the work of the something like 30,000 students we have in our district. So it's really incredible. We have 22 sites throughout downtown Lafayette that will be hosting nearly 100 different visual arts exhibits and performances. We have performance venues at the ACA in the James Devin Munkus Theater, in the Art House, but also at Recycled Cycles, Carpe Diem, Parc Sans Souci, If It Doesn't Rain. Mm-hmm. And Ballet Academy and Theater 810. Those are all of the performance venues.
So it's almost like every available space has become a gallery and exhibit hall during this
weekend.
It's
true. Mm-hmm. We are so lucky to have such a supportive downtown community. Mm-hmm. It's businesses, office buildings, mm-hmm. dentists' offices, restaurants, galleries are all giving us a little corner of their space for student work. Mm-hmm. It's very giving of them all mm-hmm. to share. They really support and believe in what the students are doing. And, you know, we did a community audit for arts education several years ago to find out what people knew about what was happening in the schools in the arts. And we found that they really didn't know what was happening. And our superintendent at the time, Brunel Lemoyne, asked us to put something together to help showcase what's been happening. And 3 years later, the Student Arts Expo is still going on, going strong. We have the visual arts exhibits, but we've also got poetry readings. We have some student film screenings. We have band performances, choirs, individual chorals performances. And it's really mind-blowing to me, the talent that we have in Lafayette Parish Public Schools. It's really incredible. Just this week, as we've got a few shows up in some of the locations, including the ACA, we've had families coming in. I talked to a grandmother who drove in from New Orleans to see her child's one piece of artwork in the show. She was, I think, a second grade student. And the support from these families is also really incredible. So it's been great. Last year we had over 3,000 people attend the event. 20% of the people who came to the event had never been to downtown Lafayette before. So it kind of opens it up. Mm-hmm. It welcomes families. It's a free event. Mm-hmm. And the event is actually starts at 2 o'clock, so you can come down before Art Walk. And then it rolls into Art Walk, and performances and exhibits are open until 8 p.m., which leaves you another whole hour to enjoy the rest of Art Walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking how many hours it would take to see so many of these exhibits. Mm-hmm. Do you have a list or a map of where all of these exhibits take place? Can you go to your website and find
that? Yes, our website, KadianaCenterForTheArts.org, or the school system's website, lpssonline.com, has a map as well as a program that lists all of the sites, where everybody's shows are, and what times all the performances are. So if you really want to see the Lafayette High Jazz Ensemble, you'll know what time to see them.
Okay, so either the ACA or the Lafayette Parish School System website, and you can find that complete list of locations and times for performances and exhibits.
Yes.
That is the Arts Expo that takes place this Saturday in downtown Lafayette, all over the place.
Absolutely.
And again, at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, it is Second Saturday Art Walk. And Mary, can you, in addition to the Southern Open, what are the other exhibits?
We have the Southern Open in the main gallery, and that will be through July 14th. In the side gallery, we have last year's winner of the Southern Open, Luba Zygarowicz, and her piece is called Threads. In the Maya Galleria, we have Emmy Morgan, and in the vault, we have Linda Katz.
All right. And included among those artists in the Southern Open, which is in the main gallery, my other guest, Lee Dygard, who has a piece called Steady Star, and it is a video installation, and we'll get to see what size it ends up on Saturday evening. So Art Walk about 6 to 8 p.m., 6 to 9?
6 to 9.
Okay.
Right.
So lots of time, and you'll need it to go through all of the gallery. Well, thank you all for coming by to let us know more about what's happening this weekend in Lafayette.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thursday afternoon, when KRVS presents From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bork, reading works by writers from or inspired by Louisiana.
Today's poems are by Kelly Cherry, who was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Her poetry publisher is Louisiana State University Press. She taught for many years at University of Wisconsin-Madison, now lives in Virginia, where she's currently the Poet Laureate of Virginia. The poems by Kelly Cherry are from Improbable Worlds, an anthology of Texas and Louisiana poets, edited by Louisiana poet Martha Surpass. And then a vast, surprising peacefulness descended like a blue shadow upon the snow, and the shadow sleeping on the snow was a kind of reconciliation, form embraced by content, light by light, the birds hanging from the branches like bright red berries. And then for days, there was nothing to disturb the beauty of that equilibrium, which was so like the miracle of forgiveness. And the second poem, also a poem by Kelly Cherry, who is currently the Poet Laureate of Virginia. Study for an Annunciation. Mary in thought, though her thoughts are free of sin, even in the sinful quattrocento. An angel's wing as wide and flat as a fin, as if the announcing angel swam through blue sky. This wing so richly outlandish, it could be the glittering keel of a golden boat steered carefully to shore, where it transformed itself into something amphibian, whose words she heard as if they had risen through miles of water, distant and paused into syllables like scuba bubbles, and saying merely what she already knew, that even the perfect life begins below and not on high, within the flux, the dreamy flow that had caught her in its undertow.
Join KRVS each Thursday afternoon for From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bork. And with me now in the KRVS studios is filmmaker Connie Castile, here to talk about, the Louisiana premiere, the Lafayette premiere of Tigalo, A Louisiana Horse Story. I know that there was a limited showing during the Louisiana Folklore Society meeting.
Right. In Lake Charles.
But now it's going to be released to the public.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people have been anxiously awaiting that release.
Correct.
You are also the writer and director of I Always Do My Collars First, Raised on Rice and Gravy, and King Crawfish.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with the Moving Image Arts degree here at UL Lafayette. You're involved. What's the other office here on campus that you're involved with?
The
Cinematic Arts.
Oh,
workshop.
Yeah. Well, yes. It's actually...
It's now become a part of the...
Right. Yes. And it's even had a name change. So it's
All
called
right.
the Center for Moving Image Arts.
All right. Goes mm-hmm. right along with that degree that we now hear.
That's
have
right.
here at the university. We're also going to talk about the second annual Local Filmmakers Showcase that takes place at the ACA this weekend. But let's talk about your film first. I know some of our listeners may have had the opportunity to hear you earlier in the week during Cheryl Castile's program talking about Tigalo. Some of them may have gotten to see the trailer on YouTube. I know that that's out, and that's really lovely. Tell us about your interest in horses. How did that develop?
Well, unlike your previous guest, I really didn't grow up with horses or anything.
You didn't have plastic horses all over your shelves?
No. And my attraction to them were really from, the folk lore, folk life, culture you know, you spend time here in South Louisiana and you start to see all these horseback traditions. And it just piqued my interest as to why would we have all of this, these horse things going on, from jockeys to trail rides to tournois to Mardi Gras. And on any given Sunday, pretty much, you could see black cowboys ride through town on horseback, you know, just leisurely passing through town. Mm-hmm. So once you start digging into all that, it becomes apparent that it's because of the cattle industry that started back about over 250 mm-hmm. years ago here in South Louisiana. And to have cattle, you had to have horses to, you know, herd them and mm-hmm. brand them and things like that. So it seems to me that given the Cajun and Creole joie, it was just a matter of time before they started having fun with these horses. Mm-hmm, so
they weren't just for work.
Yeah.
But it is interesting how people come to an awareness of horse culture in Louisiana. Because if you didn't grow up with it, if you didn't grow up on a cattle mm-hmm. farm, or it's very easy to grow up in Louisiana and not encounter it, really. Mm-hmm. I think my really only encounter with it was knowing that Evangeline Downs was on the thruway and I'd pass on the way to school.
Right.
I would see Evangeline Downs and know that there were horse races there. Mm-hmm. But that was not a part of my French Cajun upbringing,
right.
The horses.
And, right.
And so you could sort of, you know, go along your life and not encounter it mm-hmm. until perhaps, as you said, you saw, you know, the trail rides passing through a town.
Right.
Or,
right.
Or, and I remember also Philip Gould's photographs, of course.
Yes.
That gorgeous book, Les Cadiens d'Astur. And that really opened up my eyes to that culture, particularly mm-hmm. the bush track mm-hmm. Culture. And it seemed like an enormously popular part of certain people's lives.
Right.
And
that's
right. Startled by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all over the place, the bush tracks. And now there are no more. So mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. poses the question as to where will the next generation of these Cajun jockeys or Creole jockeys come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to say, I was listening to the interview with Cheryl, and she did ask that question about it. And your answer was very thoughtful and
uh-oh.
I guess, a little bit stark to some people. You know, in essence, things change.
Yeah.
You know, culture does not remain the same. It didn't exist before 200 years. Maybe it won't exist. That there are things that just come into our lives for a period of time, and then they're no longer useful or necessary or sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take away the beauty and poignancy of what remains. And so often that's the folklorist's job, isn't it?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But it was a great answer. And
yeah, or even within a tradition, it just changes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's some sort of boundary. For example, let's say Cajun music. That genre, you can be fluid within it, and you can do, it's not all the same, right? And that's nice, so musicians will want to do it, and they can feel like they have creativity. But at some point, there are probably lines that you can't cross where, okay, is that still Cajun music, or is that still Zydeco mm-hmm. music? Mm-hmm. So, but it seems like the people, the performers themselves, kind of take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like trail rides, they've become much more urban. Mardi Gras, look at the Savoir Run. It's very different. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if the folk decide that it's okay, then who are we to say it's not?
Absolutely, in the manifestation that it occurs in.
Right.
So having come to an awareness and an appreciation for this horse culture in South Louisiana, how did you go about shaping your ideas for this story, mm-hmm. this film you were going to make? What did you know you wanted to include?
Well, I knew that I would have to put it into the historical context. And so the film is designed, I guess, chronologically. So we do start with the history first, and we go to the Gray Ranch to kind of talk about cattle and the uniqueness about place and geography here in South Louisiana, and having to swim the herds and having them on the marshes, you know, mm-hmm. In the wintertime. So, and then we come forward again chronologically. So we do start with the black cowboy and the Creole cowboy, and then there's a transition, and then we follow the Cajun story about their introduction to ranching here in South Louisiana. And we have the Darby map, the William Darby map, that kind of connects all these stories together. So we during our transitions, we returned to the map.
Is that an older map?
Yeah, it's a map of 1803 that Jefferson sent William Darby to basically map out the Louisiana Purchase. What did he just get? So when he comes upon the prairies of South Louisiana, he was moved by its beauty and the thousands and thousands of horses and cattle that were roaming there at the time. And then when the Cajuns did arrive, the Acadians, they were encouraged to pursue ranching. The government gave them a bull and a few head of cattle and sent them out to the prairies, primarily to feed New Orleans. They needed some food. Mm-hmm. So the map kind of, so you kind of always know where you are. But what's striking when you see it, it's really clustered in Acadiana. I mean, these parishes, and so even when you think about the Cajun jockeys, they all grew up knowing each other within 20-30 mile radius of each other. Mm-hmm. So,
You know, I guess you're talking about historical maps and the history of it. I think a number of people first encountered also that history of cattle ranching, horseback riding in the film Belles et the Cajun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may have been
true.
One of the first times they thought about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and then you had then you had Casey Shadow, which was a big Disney movie with Walter Matthau playing Randy Romero's dad, I guess, mm-hmm. loosely based on that family. And then Les Blank did a great documentary that included Bush Tracks, mm-hmm. Spend It All. So yeah.
And so how did you go about showing some of those lost cultures? Did you use old footage, old photographs?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my understanding that they do still move cattle mm-hmm. out in Cameron Parish and, you know, swim the herds and all. But we were lucky to meet Bubby Henderson, and he is in the film. He grew up on the Gray Ranch out in Ged near Vinton. And in 1954, maybe, they were going to sell off the herd, and they decided, well, let's film this last drive of moving them to the winter pasture, to the Gulf. And they did, and it's just striking footage that we have in there. And then there's also some footage of the Bush Tracks. Mm-hmm. One of the Brown family out of Eunice, Cecil Brown, Bose Brown, Paul Brown, and Cooney, they had a nice little 16-millimeter film from probably the 1970s, early 70s, mm-hmm. late 60s, something like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of archival things in there, as well as we borrowed from Les Blank some of his footage, and then Philip Gould's photographs from that book you just mentioned. So,
And I have to say, I mean, people are going to buy this because they want to see your film, but your packaging, your design
yeah.
for your DVD is a work of art in itself as well. It's two double trucks of Philip Gould's photographs. When you open it up, it's that amazing.
I know.
Who designed the package?
Well, Allison and I knew we wanted those photographs. We wanted that. I need to ask Philip if you're listening. the horse just in front of in Delcom, in front of these shrimp boats. How did he plan that? Did it just happen that this horse happened to be? You know?
I don't think he coaxed the horse there.
And then you're right. When you open the DVD jacket, it's the Bush Tracks and that wonderful picture that he has, and the tracks just pull you in, and it, you know, these black and white photographs.
Yeah, people are going to want to frame the package that you
yeah.
have. It's really lovely.
And then the disc itself, I don't know if you noticed that, it's a great black and white photograph mm-hmm. of the Mardi Gras.
Yeah. It's artistically, it's worth just having that physical package in your hands. And then, of course, the film. And as always, your films are notable for the music that mm-hmm. goes along with it.
Yes.
Who did the music for this one?
Christy Guillory was a music supervisor, and it was recorded at Chris Stafford's studio. And Chaz Justice, Glenn Fields, Eric Fry, and there were a couple of people here from Black Pot that were able to record on it, and I'm not going to remember their names.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful music for
yes,
the soundtrack.
They did an excellent job.
Yeah, really lovely. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering if you ride. Do you ride horses?
No, I do not ride horses. In fact, at one of the trail rides, we had each person on the crew, Allison Bowl, cinematographer, Brian Richard, cinematographer, Rachel Nettervile did field recordings, and myself, and we they held the horse for us, and we each mounted it one at a time.
I led you around the yard?
No.
You just sat on it.
We just sat on it and filmed ourselves being silly that way, but...
And so you didn't have a wild desire to learn to ride a horse and just race down a bush track?
Well, yes, but it's still possible.
Yeah, might happen. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Connie Castile, a filmmaker whose film Tigalo, A Louisiana Horse Story, will have its public Louisiana premiere this Sunday at the Acadiana mm-hmm. Center for the Arts. It is a part of the second annual Local Filmmakers Showcase,
right.
Which starts actually on Saturday, I believe,
mm-hmm.
With some student works from the Moving Image Arts program here at UL, and you are working with that program.
Right. It's the Moving Image Arts. We have a student work that's going to be shown. All these are shorts. We're going to take 30 minutes on Saturday night at 8:30 at the Acadiana Center for the Arts in the theater. And it's also the visual arts students as well. So there's some nice, good programs there mm-hmm. that you can now get a degree in cinema studies at UL, a 4-year degree. But of course, there's visual arts, then there's animation and the media concentration too, and students there produce some wonderful stuff too. So it's a combination of visual arts students and moving image arts students.
All right, so that'll be a half an hour at mm-hmm. 8:30, and then at 9:00 the film Chapatulas will be shown.
That's correct.
Whose film is that?
That is Bill and Turner Ross, and this was their first feature-length film, I believe. Yeah. And it's basically, they grew up in Iowa, but as kids, they came to New Orleans, and they just remembered loving it so much. So as young adults, they come over to, I believe they still live in New Orleans now, and it's a documentary, and it's just basically sort of a fly-on-the-wall kind of cinema where they follow these three black brothers, and it's the brothers are visiting the French Quarter for the first time. You get the sense in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so they follow them along, and it's just a wonderful film.
Are these young children, the brothers, or are they older?
They're probably between the age of 12 to 16, mm-hmm. 17, mm-hmm. something like that.
Teenagers.
Mm-hmm. And a dog, and they bring their dog with them.
Well, that will be at 9:00, so you can go to Art Walk and enjoy all of the exhibits, and then enjoy the film. I guess that will be in the theater at the Acadiana mm-hmm. Center for the Arts. And then, of course, Connie, your film will be the next day, 6:00 at the ACA. Is it free and open, or you need
to
buy a ticket?
All of these films are free and open to the public. And if you happen to miss Tigalo on Sunday, mm-hmm. we are showing it at Casa Azul in Grand Coteau on Tuesday night. And then we're bringing it to Eunice at the Jean Lafitte Center on Saturday, the 19th.
So a week of possibilities for mm-hmm. seeing Tigalo, A Louisiana Horse Story.
Yes.
And some people may want to know right now where they can get it.
Right,
the film.
Right. They can get it.
Do you have a website?
No, but hopefully by the end of June I will. But right now we do have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Tigalo, T-G-A-L-O-P. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can email me, which is my name at Gmail. Or they can call you and get my contact information.
That's right. We'll have it here. And for the opening on Sunday, will you have copies for sale there?
Yes, okay. We will have copies for sale at the screening.
All right. And I was going to say sign them, but I wouldn't want to cross over those gorgeous photographs.
I know. It's difficult. I did personalize a few for the people that are in the film, and I was like, where am I going to write it?
I'll put a little insert or something in there. So Sunday, you can see the premiere of Tigalo, A Louisiana Horse Story, 6:00. There will be copies for sale there. Mm-hmm. If you can't make it to Lafayette and the ACA on Sunday, Tuesday in Grand Coteau, mm-hmm. and then in Eunice on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So follow Tigalo, gallop along the highways. Maybe you want to see it every time. It is a lovely film, and certainly it's going to have as passionate a following as some of your other films.
I hope so.
Well, we'll look forward to future work. Do you have one story now?
No. Just usually I would. Funding is just not that great right now in the state. So I'm going to take some time and do a lot of field work on some ideas that I do have. Right. So,
well, we'll look forward to that. Yeah. In the meantime, enjoy all of Connie's other films. And Tigalo again opens this Sunday, 6 o'clock at the ACA. Thanks so much, Connie.
Thank you, Judith.
What's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Auditions for the play The Rehearsal, a 17th century comic satire, will take place tonight and tomorrow evening. Actually, this evening is the final in the auditions, and there will be one on Saturday. Last night, tonight, and on Saturday, they need male actors. It is a comedy, a very funny comedy. The costumes are going to be amazing, and they do need lots of male actors. So if you think you might like to act and you like comedy, you can go tonight at Cité des Arts from 7 until 9, and on Saturday from noon until 3. For more information, you can contact Christy Lichty at Cité des Arts or Lauren Green. And again, tonight, 7 until 9. Also, auditions for The Glass Mendacity, a comedy centering around characters created by Tennessee Williams. The Glass Mendacity will hold auditions tonight at Cité from 6 until 9 p.m. They have a number of areas at Cité, so they have lots of space for auditions. Lots of comedies being auditioned for at Cité this evening. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Acadiana will have an orientation for potential volunteers 5:30 this evening at their offices in downtown Lafayette, 123 East Main Street. In Grand Coteau this evening, an oral history of the area with Miss Etha Simia Ameling and a poetry reading by Tasha Weatherspoon. That program will go from 7 until 9. And at the Acadiana Center for the Arts this evening, Louisiana Crossroads, the final in the series for this year, Zigaboo Modaliste, King of the Funky Drums. That concert starts at 8 o'clock at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Tomorrow evening in Crowley at the Grand Opera House of the South, the pianist Isidar will be giving a solo piano concert. His latest CD is coming out in early June. The CD was produced by Grammy winner and founder of Windham Hill Records, Will Ackerman. So that is Isidar in concert Friday at 7 o'clock. The Performing Arts Society of Acadiana will host its final performance in the Singer-Songwriter Series on Friday. Performing will be Guy Clark and Richard Lay. That will be at the ACA. For ticket information, please call the ACA. Downtown Alive continues with a performance by Lil Buck Senegal. He will perform in Parc Sanssouci. The music starts at around 6 o'clock. On Saturday, one of a number of bicycling activities will be taking place. It is National Bike Month. There will be a ride for Rox. It is a memorial ride in memory of Roxanne Richard, who was killed while riding her bicycle this past year. There's a 50-mile ride that starts at 8 and a 25-mile ride that starts at 9:30. In the morning. Both bicycle rides begin and end at Acadiana Park in Lafayette, 1205 East Alexander. You can pre-register at www.active.com or on the day of the ride this Saturday starting at 7 a.m. La Mesa en Español, the Spanish table, will take place in Gran Coteau at Casa Azul this Saturday from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. All are invited, beginners as well as native speakers. It is free and open to everyone, and the group will be led by Nancy Gomez, who is a native of Santiago, Chile, and is fluent in Spanish and Portuguese and English. That's at Casa Azul in Gran Coteau. It is a free community event. UL Lafayette's graduation exercises will take place Saturday, beginning at 8 a.m. and going throughout the day at the Cajun Dome and the Cajun Dome Convention Center. For a complete listing of graduations, you can go to the UL Lafayette website. In Lake Charles, the Louisiana Choral Foundation Masterworks Chorale will have their next concert series this weekend at St. Luke Simpson Methodist Church. On Friday, they'll perform at 7:30, and on Sunday, May 13th at 3 o'clock. The title of their concert is Love Makes the World Go Round. And the Louisiana Poet Laureate, Julie Kane, will be giving a reading in Lake Charles at the Imperial Calcasieu Museum this Saturday, May 12th at 4 o'clock. She has been commissioned to compose an original series of poems which use the history of Lake Charles and the bicentennial as an inspiration. And that series will be revealed during this reading. That will be at 4 o'clock this Saturday, May 12th. Julie Kane will be reading. And at Cité des Arts on Saturday, the Gary Granger Project will be performing. It will be a performance that features Gary Granger, Beau Thomas, and Joseph Butts will be performing. Jermaine Prejean will be with them as well. That concert begins at 7 o'clock at Cité Des Arts. And the new Leviathan Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra will be performing at the Hilliard University Art Museum this Saturday, May 12th from 4:30 to 7 p.m. For more information, you can go to the Hilliard's website or give them a call. And this weekend, Second Saturday Art Walk, up and down Jefferson Street and all the side streets, lots of exhibits going on, including the Student Arts Expo that will be taking place throughout downtown beginning at 2 o'clock on Saturday in downtown Lafayette. At the ACA, the Southern Open will open with over 30 artists from around the Gulf Coast will be showing there. Also, the second annual Local Filmmaker Showcase will be taking place this weekend at the ACA on Sunday at 6 o'clock, the Louisiana premiere of Tigalo, a Louisiana Horse Story. And the Bayou Bell Choir will be performing on Tuesday, May 15th in Lake Charles at the First United Methodist.